That's still good singing.
Amen.
Open your Bibles, if you will, to 2 Chronicles in chapter 15. While you're turning there, I want to say again that I thank all of you ladies that have labored so diligently every day to provide food for us and our family. We are thankful. It was great. I think I put on about 10 pounds during the week. Just fed me and amazing. A miracle has happened. Everything I liked. I liked everything. I liked every meal. I liked all the fellowship. I mean, it was just great, and we were really appreciative for all that you've done for us. And it's just good to be here. I thank all of you that have come out throughout the whole week and put up with my preaching and my hollering and screaming and nagging and whatever. I thank you for your prayers, and I continue to ask you to pray tonight. Even this is the last night. It's the bottom of the ninth. We don't know how many men are on base, but we're going to take a swing at the old ball and see what happens. All right. Second Chronicles, chapter 15. How many people got their Bibles? Got to ask this now. We don't want to be forgetting this. Everybody got their Bibles? All right. I like to see that. Now, you're getting a good habit. Now, I'm going to call up Brother Kincaid when I get back to Poland. I'm going to ask him if they're still bringing their Bibles. Find out if you guys have been faithful. Because you're supposed to bring your Bibles not only during revival meeting, you're supposed to bring your Bibles all the time. Every time you come to church, you ought to bring your Bible. Now, I'm going to let you in on a little secret. You're not just supposed to bring your Bible, you're supposed to read your Bible. Huh? That night when your Bible's sitting around the house, it's not supposed to be sitting on top of the TV. You're supposed to take that thing off the TV, turn off the TV, and sit down and open up that thing and read your Bible.
Amen.
Now, this is a bit of extra free. This is free. It doesn't cost anything extra. I'm giving you this free. Some of you mamas and daddies, you ought to take some time, get up a little bit early, open up that Bible, and read the Bible to your children.
Amen.
Huh? Are you with me? Amen. Now, where's Dara at? She's been picking on me because I say that. Are you with me? I'm glad you're with me, Dara. I'm glad you're with me because I don't want you to be... Is that a guitar next to you?
Yeah.
Is that guitar with you?
Yeah.
Got to see that. I'm going to think of something to get her back. But she picked on me all day long because I said, are you with me? If you weren't with me, where would you be? You wouldn't be here, would you? All right, 2 Corinthians chapter 15. I think you ought to read your Bible is what I say. Right? Not just on Sunday morning, not just on Sunday night, not just when the preacher says open your Bible. Some of you, that's the only Bible reading you ever get is when the preacher says open your Bibles please and read with me. I think you ought to be reading your Bible just a little bit more than that. Did you know if you read 3.5 chapters of your Bible, you could finish a whole thing in a year? Well, that was for free. Here we go. 2 Chronicles chapter 15. And the Spirit of God came upon Azariah, the son of Obed. And he went out to meet Asa and said unto him, hear ye me, Asa, and all Judah and Benjamin. The Lord is with you. Are you with me?
Amen.
The Lord is with you. Amen. Oh, thank God. Maybe Dara's not going to be with me, but bless God, God's with me.
Amen.
Thank God for that. The Lord is with you. See, I got that out of the Bible. The Lord is with you. While ye be with him. Are you with him?
Amen.
Are you with him?
Amen.
The Lord is with you while ye be with him. And if you seek him, he will be found. You ever lose something? We talked about that the other night. You ever lose something? If you seek him, he will be found of you. But if you forsake him, he will forsake you. Now for a long season, Israel had been without the true God, and without a teaching priest, and without law. And when they in their trouble did turn on the Lord God of Israel and sought him, he was found of them. Thank God for that. And in those times there was no peace to him that went out, nor to him that came in, but great vexations were upon all the inhabitants of the country. And nation was destroyed of nation, and city of city. For God did vex them with all adversity. Be strong, therefore, and let not your hands be weak, for your work shall be rewarded. And when Asa heard these words, and the prophecy of Obed, the prophet, he took courage and took away the abominable idols out of all the land of Judah and Benjamin and out of the cities which he had taken from Mount Ephraim and renewed the altar of the Lord that was before the porch of the Lord. And he gathered all Judah and Benjamin, the strangers with them out of Ephraim and Manasseh and out of Simeon, for they fell to him out of Israel in abundance when they saw that the Lord his God was with him. Amen. God was with them. And so they gathered themselves together at Jerusalem in the third month, in the 15th year of the reign of Asa. And they offered unto the Lord the same time of the spoil which they had brought 700 oxen and 7,000 sheep. And they entered into a covenant to seek the Lord God of their fathers with all their heart and with all their soul, that whosoever would not seek the Lord God of Israel should be put to death, whether small or great, whether man or woman. And they swear unto the Lord, now mark it down, and they swear unto the Lord with a loud voice, and with shouting, and with trumpets, and with cornets. You see, you can't go through your Bible finding out that God is a God of loud shouting, and with a loud voice. Isn't that right? And all Judah rejoiced. You see, God is a God of rejoicing. And he said, God is with you. I don't see how you can do anything else but what? But rejoice. Amen. You people are a bunch of cucumbers. Is God with you?
Amen.
Thank you, thank you, thank you. Praise God, I'm glad to hear that. And all of Judah rejoiced at the oath, for they had sworn with all their heart and sought him with their whole desire and was found of them, and the Lord gave them rest round about. All right, let's stand up and pray. Lord, it is nothing with thee to help, whether with many or with them that have no power. Help us, O Lord our God, for we rest on thee. And in thy name we go out against this great multitude. O Lord, thou art our God. Let not man prevail against thee. God, give us a great revival. Give us victory. Bind the devil, let him not have the victory. God, help us to overcome our flesh. Help us overcome this world. Oh, God, help us be victorious. Help us to walk where you walk. Oh, God, help us to rejoice in you at all times. Lord, help us to be ever thankful for all your mercies and benefits you've given us in Christ Jesus. And oh, God, give us real revival, real long-lasting revival. May it last until you return for us. And I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, I'm going to back up there, and I'm going to start from the bottom. Verse 14, and they swear unto the Lord with a loud voice and with shouting. Yes. Now I asked you to begin this revival, what kind of church do you want here? And you all said, a living church. And you all came to an agreement with me. You said a living church is one that says something, you know, it's got some life in it. Yes. And we learned something over there in Psalm chapter 115 last night, that the dead praise not the Lord. And we learned that those that are living are going to give praise to God. And so we got to learn how to say amen.
Amen.
Now you don't say amen just on Saturday night when Brother Brent is preaching on amen, amen. You see, you got to come here because this is a body. The church has always been a body. And that means every one of you are members in particular. That means that you have a responsibility to function. You're not supposed to be bumps on a log. You understand?
Amen.
You're not supposed to be bumps on a log. When you come here, you're supposed to come prepared to function. And if God hasn't told you to stand up and preach in the pulpit, then God's told you to pray in the chair. Or to praise in the chair.
Amen.
Or to give thanks in the chair.
Amen.
And some of you sitting there thinking, Brother Brent, you're not doing a good job preaching. Well, you ought to get to praying.
Amen.
Right? Prayer changes things, isn't that right? Isn't that what you believe? You believe that, don't you? God hears and answers prayer. You think you're in the will of God. You decided, oh, Brother Brent's not preaching right, or Brother Lindell's not preaching right, or Brother Brian's not preaching right, or somebody else not preaching right, and you're in the will of God. You know they're not right, and so why don't you pray? If you're in the will of God, God will hear your prayers.
Amen.
And if God doesn't hear your prayers and change your preaching, maybe you're the one that's out of the will of God.
Amen.
Thank you. You're welcome. That was for free also, see? It's the last night. I got to cover all my bases. This is potluck. I'm looking out there, and I'm seeing what I missed, and I'm going to shoot it. And I'm just, as I think about it, I'm going to remember that and I'm going to say something else. So you just hang on tonight. We might not get out here. This is overtime. It's the bottom of the night.
Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord.
Amen. Who's that? Amen. I'm glad they got somebody alive around here.
He's on vacation.
Hey, okay, he's on vacation. He don't have to work tomorrow. All right. Now I'm going to give you something free. Look over in Isaiah chapter 8. This is extra. This is kind of like pralines and cream. You know, you eat and eat and eat, and then they say, oh, by the way, we got pralines and cream in the freezer. Oh, man. I got it down, though. I got it down. I got it all down. Isaiah chapter 8. Now, you're going to notice something here. Because he says over here, we learned about that last night, that with a loud voice and with shouting. Right? Now we learned all about that last night, but that's what it says here also. Now look over in Isaiah chapter 8 and verse 19. I think this includes preaching. I think this includes ministering. I think this includes a lot of things. And then they shall say unto you, this is Isaiah chapter 8 verse 19, seek unto them that have familiar spirits and unto wizards that peep and that mutter. Should not a people seek unto their God for the living to the dead? To the law and to the testimony, if they speak not according to His word, it is because there is no light in them. Now notice that. Wizards peep and mutter. Huh? You know, they're kind of whispering. And they're kind of quiet. Are you with me?
Amen.
Adar, are you with me? Amen. I'm glad you're with me. Now, God does things in light. He's not trying to hide anything. And if you see somebody whispering over there, you know, just mark it down, something's wrong. Isn't that right?
Amen.
You gotta be telling secret. You know, you're over there whispering. Mark, there's probably something just wrong with that, right? I come into home sometime and you know, all the kids are over there whispering. I say, oh, something's up. Huh? Something's up. Or you know, they're talking on the phone all of a sudden. You heard them coming up the stairs talking. And they're on the phone and you walk in the door and all of a sudden the voice stuff goes, just real low. You say, oh, something's up. Who are they talking about? I wonder. Boy, my ears are itching. Huh?
Amen.
You see, God's men and God's women are bold. And so they speak kind of loud. Huh? When you don't have very much confidence, you kind of mutter. And that's my problem when I speak in Polish, see? Because I don't have a lot of confidence, so I just kind of... They say I swallow my words. I don't know how you can do that, but I do. That's what they say I do. They say I just swallow my words. Because you don't have confidence. But you have confidence and you know what you're doing. Then you say, praise the Lord. I can say that. Amen. Praise the Lord. Because God is with me. All right. Back to 2 Chronicles chapter 15, all that was for free. Now we're going to start a message. Look down at verse 2. The Lord is with you. Is He? Is He with you?
Amen.
I'm telling you what, if you was born in the world, He wasn't with you. Did you catch that? If you're a son of Adam, He wasn't with you. He's not with you until you've been born again. Then He's with you permanently. That's what it says. Look over in Ephesians in chapter 2. We're going to be bouncing around. Hold your finger in the 2 Chronicles. I don't want you to lose your place. We're going to be coming back there. Look over in Ephesians in chapter 2 in the New Testament. Look down there about verse 12. At that time ye were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. Did you get that? Some of you people sitting here tonight, you think that you've always been a Christian. You think that God was always with you. Well, somebody pulled the wool over your eyes because that's not true.
Right.
If you're walking this old flesh, God's not with you.
Amen.
If you're still walking around in old man Adam, God's not with you. But bless God, if you've been born again by the Spirit of God and trusted on Christ and understand that God the Father is satisfied with the offering of Christ and you became satisfied with the offering of Christ and you call upon His holy name asking to save you, God's going to be with you then.
Amen.
Isn't that right?
Amen.
There was a time... I like that. You guys are learning. There was a time when you were without Christ. And then there was a time that Christ was with you.
Amen.
Isn't that what it says? All right. He said, the Lord is with you while you be with Him. And if you seek Him, He will be found of you. But if you forsake Him, He will forsake you. Now, we're not talking about losing salvation. I think we already preached on that. He gave us what kind of life? I ask that again. What kind of life? And thou shalt never perish, He said. But there are some things you can lose. Now, we picked it up over here another night. Where's that young guy who lost his teeth? You can lose your teeth. Isn't that right? Somebody never did claim that $10 bill I found. Oops, I wasn't supposed to tell that, but I found a $10 bill. They never claimed that. You can lose a $10 bill, right? You can lose some blessings. There are some certain things you can lose, right? But you can't lose salvation. And God said over the New Testament, if you walk in darkness, you're not going to have fellowship with Him. So you can lose fellowship with God. Now, if you lose fellowship, what is the natural thing that you want to do? You want to restore fellowship, right? You want to renew it. And that's what he talks about here. Look down there in about verse 8, about towards the end. And renew the altar of the Lord. And that's why we have a revival meeting. That's why we've been here preaching. And that's why we've been singing. That's why we've come here and gathered together every night for the past 8, 9, 10 days or so. We've been gathered here because we want to renew our hearts. Sometimes our old hearts get cold and indifferent. Sometimes we just get lukewarm. Sometimes we get weary. And sometimes we get tired. And whatever. There's a lot of things happen to us in our Christian service. And we lose sight of things. And somehow we forget about the Lord. Isn't that right? Am I telling the truth? And so we have a revival meeting. These pastors around here, they find somebody and can come in and preach and stir things up and get everybody excited about the Lord again and thinking about the Lord again and seeking the Lord again so you might renew your mind. I think that's what it says over Romans chapter 12, about verse 1 and 2. You're supposed to renew your mind. Huh? And if you watch TV at all, you need to renew your mind every day. And that's why we have church meetings. That's why we gather together. You know, I think maybe we ought to gather more often so we can renew our minds more often. Amen. Because we get out in that old, cold, dark world out there and we forget about the blessings of God. And we forget about the promises of God. And so we have meetings to provoke one another unto good works. Amen. Because we're out there in that old, dirty, rotten world and they're provoking on us wicked works all the time. Isn't that why we have a church? Isn't that why God built the church? That's one of the reasons. Not the only reason, but that's one of the reasons. And that's why we have meetings. So we can be reminded of things. So we can seek the Lord anew. Now look over in Isaiah in chapter 55. It's about on the ninth and Casey's at the bat and I'm swinging with everything I got. Isaiah 55, beginning at verse 1. Ho! Ho, everyone that thirsteth! Come ye to the waters, and he that hath no money, come ye, buy and eat, yea, come, buy wine and milk without money, without price. Wherefore do you spend money for that which is not bread, and you labor for that which satisfieth not? Hearken diligently unto me, and eat ye that which is good, and let your soul delight itself in fatness. Now, I think he's talking about religion. People spend a lot of money on religion. And they're not satisfied. Religion never will satisfy.
Amen.
And I don't care what religion, I don't care what name or what brand of religion you got, it's not going to satisfy.
Amen.
It doesn't satisfy your soul. But I want you to know, if you ever taste Jesus,
amen,
you'll be satisfied.
Amen.
Huh? And he doesn't charge a dime.
Amen.
Huh? You're not going to catch Jesus saying, yeah, well, come on down, you need to get baptized with me, and then he's going to charge you something for it. You're not going to find Jesus say, yeah, eat of me, I'm the bread of life, and then you're going to find out that mass is going to cost some money.
Right.
Are you with me?
Amen.
Dar, are you with me? I'm glad to hear that. Huh? Are you following me?
Yeah.
All right. He said you can partake of this without money. Huh? It's free.
Amen.
It's free. Did you get that? It's free.
Amen.
You know what? I gotta walk down there, San Juan de los Lagos. You don't gotta take off your shoes and beat your back and walk into your knees blood and you're bloody and your feet are bloody. You don't have to do that because Christ already suffered on the cross.
Amen.
Is that what the Bible says? He already suffered.
Yes.
And how many times did he die? He died once. He suffered once. And that's sufficient. And God is satisfied with that.
Amen.
And you can come and partake of that freely. Doesn't cost a dime. And these dirty, rotten religionists, they come along and they try to milk money out of that. They charge you money.
Yeah, that's right.
The salvation the Bible talks about, it's free.
Amen.
Doesn't mean it didn't cost anything. It cost a whole lot. It cost the blood of God.
Amen.
The blood of Jesus Christ. It cost the Son of God. It was a great price was paid. We talked about that a little bit, didn't we? The great love. That great salvation. It's free. Now down in verse 6. Says, seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. And let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him, and to our God, and he will abundantly pardon. Now, some of us have been made partakers of that great salvation, but we got busy in the world. And we got like a worm. You know what a worm is? You know what an earthworm is? I think you do. An earthworm is this creature, Looks like a worm. I don't know how to describe it. Just a worm. It's like a bug without legs. You got it? You know what he likes to do? He likes to get down to all the worlds around him. That's why they call them earthworms, right? He likes to crawl down in the world and just have the earth all around him. He likes to have the world all around him. Now, some of you have been my partakers of that great salvation, and God has given you what kind of life?
Eternal
life. But you know what? You somehow went back to the world. And you've been caught, you're worms, and you're crawling around in the world. And so we got to have a revival. And so part of the thing about having a revival is seeking the Lord again. Right? You lost that fellowship maybe. And so now it's time to seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he be near. Let the wicked forsake his way. And let the unrighteous man his thoughts. And let him return unto the Lord. So we got to return unto the Lord. Now back in our text. Says there in verse 3, they were for a long season without the true God. And without a teaching priest. And without law. And God help us if we ever get to the place like that.
Amen.
You know what happens to a country without law? Do any of you watch CNN? You ever see something broadcast over there from Bosnia? In Serbia? That's countries without law. You know the country we're in, Poland? There was a time they didn't have law. There was a time when the Nazis came along and they saw some fellas on the side of the street. They said, come over here and shovel the sidewalk. And then men went over to shovel the sidewalk and they decided they weren't shoveling fast enough. So they put a gun to their head and blew their brains out. Huh? Walking down the street, Ed had some ladies walking over there. They decided they didn't like what side of the street they were walking on. So they pulled out the machine guns and shot them dead. Huh? That's without law. Got over there in Serbia. I don't know who did it, but I'm sure it was going on both sides. Got a man and his wife. She's with child. They stripped her down naked and raped her right before her husband. Then put the gun to her husband's head and said, what do you think we ought to do now? Huh? That's a country without law. Over in Africa, there's some countries over there without law, and they're just killing each other, just massacring each other. God help us, it ever comes. And if we don't get real long-lasting revival, that might happen to America. You don't want to be around where there's no law. You don't want to be around where there's no teaching priest. And you don't want to be around without the true God.
Amen.
You ever see some of these countries that don't serve the true God? Just go down south of the border. Just look at South America. Just look over there in Africa. Go to Poland and look. 1 million drunkards in a country of 40 million. That's drunkards as the state calls drunkards. Now what would they be if God decided who's a drunkard and who's not? You want my estimation? More than half of the population. That's my opinion. Not an expert opinion, it's just my opinion. But the state of Poland has declared there's 1 million drunkards in Poland. And that's supposed to be a Christian country? No, I think they're without God. And without a teaching, they got a lot of Catholic people in the jail cells. And they're in there for murder. They're in there for rape. They're in there for all sorts of wickedness and vileness and thievery and everything. All the crimes that are committed, they're in jail. They've been baptized. They've been married in the church. Been partakers of the sacraments. That's what I was telling you from the very beginning. Religion's not going to help you out.
Amen.
Religion doesn't make a difference in your life. Religion is just a bunch of fig leaves that you cover yourself with and trying to hide from God. So you need to seek him. He said if you'd seek him, he'd be found. That's what it says in verse 4. But when they in their trouble, some of you wondering why you got so many troubles. God is a gracious God. And he sends you trouble sometimes just so you'd seek him. Huh? You ever figure that out? Sometimes you got troubles in your life just so you'd seek him. Huh? I was told about a brother here. He decided he didn't want to come to church on Sunday because he had too much work to do. Huh? He was kind of busy. He decided he wasn't going to church. He said, well, I probably ought to go to church, but I got some work to do, so I don't think I'll go to church. So he skipped out. Well, then he ran his tractor right through the barn door and ruined the door and everything, and he got off his tractor and said, you know, I think I should have been in church. So then he starts coming to church. Huh? Sometimes God sends troubles your way, right? So you might learn something. So you might seek God. And some of you might have a whole lot less troubles if you would seek God. And when they were in their trouble, did turn on the Lord God of Israel and sought him, and he was found to them. Thank God for that.
Now jump down about verse 8. And Asa heard these words in the prophecy of Oded, the prophet, he took courage. Huh? When you start hearing the promise of God, it gives you a little bit of courage. When you find out that God is with you and He never will leave you nor forsake you, it gives you a little bit of courage. Huh? And so we come around here and we want to hear the Word of God so we might have some courage. Right? He took courage and put away. You want a revival? Sometimes you got to put away some things. Huh? Maybe you got to put away your TV. Did you hear me? I don't know what you got to put away, but maybe you ought to put it away. Whatever it is that hinders you from seeking God with all your heart and all your mind and all your soul, you ought to put it away.
Amen.
Might be a good thing. You ought to put it away. Might be a bad thing. You ought to put it away. Huh? Getting quiet around here.
Amen.
And Asa, he put away the abominable idols out of all the land of Judah. Some of you got some idols, don't you? You got them sitting up in your house. You got them sitting up in your heart. And you need to go down there and get them out and pitch them out. Break them up and burn them. Huh? Look down about verse 16. He says, and also concerning Maacah, the mother of Asa, the king, look what he put away. He removed her from being queen because she had made an idol in a grove. Huh? Asa meant business with God. And if we want real lasting revival, we got to mean business with God. And Asa went to his mother and said, listen, we're going to start serving God now, and we can't have these idols around here because we serve Him in faith. We walk by faith and not by sight. We don't have to have any more idols anymore. We can serve God by faith. God gives us this faith from hearing the Word of God. So we're going to start going to church more often so we have more faith. We don't need these idols sitting around the house anymore. Huh? And so Asa's mother had a hissy fit. Said, no, this is not tradition. We've had these idols for a long time. We're not going to get rid of these idols. So Asa said, all right, I'm the man of the house, I'm the king, you're no longer queen.
Amen.
Go on, keep your idols, it's a free country, you can keep your idols, but not in my house. Are you with me?
Amen.
Dira, are you with me?
Amen.
Glad to hear that. Huh? Now down to verse 12. And they entered into a covenant to seek the Lord God of their fathers with all their heart and with all their soul. Now some of you got an itsy bitsy witsy little heart, right? God wants all of it.
Amen.
You understand? Some of you guys' hearts about that big. I mean, you can hardly see it. Huh? They couldn't do bypass on it because it's so small. I mean, you just got a real small heart. You're not very compassionate at all. You just got a real small heart. God wants all of it.
Amen.
Some of you, I mean, you got one of them big mama hearts. I mean, a gigantic heart. I mean, just a big heart. I mean, you love everything. You love dogs. I mean, you just love cats. And you cry when you see one on the road run over and smushed up. Right? You got one of them big hearts. I mean, He just loves everything. He wants all of it.
Amen.
Huh? I don't know what kind of hearts you got. Maybe big, small, medium, I don't know what size. Maybe you're a big man, you got a bigger heart. Maybe you're a big man, you got a little heart. I don't know. But God wants all of your heart. He wants us to seek Him with all our heart and all our mind and all our soul. We want revival? That's what it's going to take. That's what it says? Huh? I said, is that what it said?
Amen.
Thank you. God help us. You know what it says there? It says they entered into a covenant. That means they made up their mind. They made a decision. This is what we're going to do. And that's some of your problems. You ain't made up your mind that you're going to serve God. If you want revival, the first thing you're going to have to do is decide, that's what I want. Right? That's what I want. I want revival. Then you're going to have to sit down and think, all right, what are the things I need to put away? What are the things I need to do? Right? Maybe you ought to write it down. Maybe that'll help you out. Just write it down. Then you have to sit down and say, all right, God, this is what I'm going to do to try to serve you. So you have, some of you, you got no goals, no plans. You made no decisions. You just kind of, just whatever the wind blows. How many of the winds blowing and everybody saying amen? You can say amen. Are you with me?
Amen.
Huh? You just go with the flow. Some of you need to make a decision. I'm going to serve God no matter what happens.
Amen.
Some of you are real gung-ho about going out preaching just as long as somebody else goes out preaching. You still with me?
Amen.
Some of you get all excited, yeah, we need to go door to door, and you get 5 or 10 of you around, and you're all excited about going door to door, and that lasts about a week or two, then all of a sudden it drops on to 5, and then it drops down to 2, and all of a sudden you're not so excited about it no more. Some of you need to make a contract with God and said, I'm going to be faithful.
Amen.
You want a living church? Huh? You want a living church? Alright. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. Now, I think this is one of the finest churches in the world. Not just the USA, not just Texas. I think it's one of the finest churches in the world. In fact, if you want my opinion, I think it's the finest church in the world. I don't know of a better church. I don't know of a finer church. Now, I'm sure there's probably some out there. I just don't know of them. You understand? In my limited travels, I just don't know of them. And I know some people in here that are sincere. They love God. They want revival. They want to serve God. And they've been serving God for a long time. I thank God for them. I look about some of these faces. They were here 3.5 years ago. When we left for Poland, they were here 13.5 years ago. When we left for Mexico, they were here about 20 years ago when we first started coming. And they're still here. And they're still serving God. But you know what happens when you serve God? Sometimes you get tired. And sometimes you get weary. And sometimes you just need revival. Now look over here in 2 Thessalonians in chapter 3. Look down there about verse 13. But ye, brethren, be not weary in well-doing. Isn't that a command? Is that a command? That's what it says. It says, don't be weary. Be not weary in well-doing. Now what's going on? He's talking about these people that they need to learn to work for a living. Right? Some of you, because this is a missionary-minded church. You get a little zeal for God. Next thing you know, you're on a foreign field. Right? It's the kind of church is this. You get a little excited. Next thing you know, you're off to Poland or off to Mexico or off to wherever. Right? And some of you fellas that get up every day and not on vacation like Brother Randy. Get up every day and have to go to work. And you're still trying to serve God. Right? You get a little weary, don't you? Huh?
Amen.
Alright. You're a little bit weary, don't you? You want to serve God. And you're going to go out. You told brother so-and-so that you're just going to go out visitation with him, but you worked a hard day, and now it's just a little bit hard. And the old devil comes up and he says, well, you already put in 8 hours. What do you want to go out for 2 more hours visiting? Why don't you just go home and catch some Zeke? You worked hard all day. And so the apostle says here, brethren, be not weary in well-doing. Huh?
Amen.
He understands the problem. He understands the temptation. And he says, don't give in to that temptation. I know your body gets tired. Huh? I know you get old. I know you get sickly. I know you get tired. I understand that. But he said, don't be weary.
Amen.
Huh? You want to get the crown?
Amen.
You got to go another lap.
Amen.
Huh? It's called enduring.
Amen.
It's called get down inside your guts and say, hey, I got to hang on just a little bit more. Are you with me?
Amen.
I gotta hang on just a little bit more. Because I'm going after a crown. Are you going after a crown?
Amen.
Maybe that's the problem. You ain't figured out you ought to be seeking after some crowns. Hey, we're in this race. Some of you are gonna get down to the judgment seat of Christ and you're not gonna have anything to get laid at the feet of Jesus. I don't want to get to that judgment seat of Christ and have no crowns to cast at his feet and say, I'm not worthy, you're worthy.
Amen.
I want every blessing that God has for me. I want every crown. I want to get them all. Anything that's a blessing, I want to get. I don't want to miss out anything. I probably will on some, but I'm going to try to get them all. Some of you work overtime to get a raise, but you're not working overtime for Jesus. And so Paul says, be not weary. Now let me tell you, brethren, it's not a sin for you to have a job. It's not a sin for you to work a 40-hour week. It's not a sin. It's not a sin for you to have to get up on Monday morning and get in the car and drive to work and work 8 hours. That's not a sin. It's your responsibility.
Right.
It's your God-given responsibility. There's nothing wrong with it. But do it as unto the Lord.
Amen.
If you're doing it for yourself, then it's a sin.
Amen.
If you're doing it to make yourself rich and not thinking about giving to others, yes, then that's a sin. Working a job is part of the work of the Lord. Are you with me? Are you with me? You get up and you teach school and you gotta teach them rugrats at school. Right? Be weary. He said, don't be weary. Don't be weary. Some of you go down the job and they're down there cussing up the storm and doing whatnot, and you just feel, you come home and you just feel dirty, right?
Amen.
Well, let me tell you something. You get out there preaching, they're cussing up a storm too. Huh?
Amen.
He said, don't be weary. You have an opportunity to reach those fellow employees on your job.
Amen.
That's a world that many gospel preachers can't even get in. They wouldn't let them in on the job to preach, but you're inside. See? You're like that angel with Cornelius. You're already inside. You got their attention. You have a great opportunity to give them the gospel. He says, don't be weary because you're holding the job. Look over in Galatians in chapter 6. Verse 7. Be not deceived. Some of you lost people here tonight, be not deceived. You better not believe every preacher, every priest, every minister, every rabbi. You better not believe the Pope and all these other guys. You better be careful. Be not deceived. Many false prophets shall come, Jesus said. Many. John the Apostle said, try the spirits whether it be of God. You better be careful. You better open up the Bible and see what God has to say. You better try all things and hold fast that which is true. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever man soweth, that shall also reap. Huh? For he that soweth to his flesh shall reap, shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. And let us not be weary in well doing. For in due season we shall reap if we faint not. As we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are the household of faith. Notice down there about verse 9, he says again, let us not be weary in well doing. Now it is amazing, I found this amazing. When I was lost and wasn't serving God, when I was serving the devil and serving the flesh and serving this world, I could stay up to 3 o'clock in the morning and I wasn't weary.
Yeah, that's right.
I could stay up to 3 o'clock in the morning doing some things I can't say what I was doing then.
Amen.
It's under the blood. Thank God for that.
Amen.
But I'd get up about, 5 or 6 o'clock in the morning to go to work and there's no problem at all. Huh? But all of a sudden you try to read your Bible. Huh? Yeah, I was up at 2 o'clock in the morning reading some things I shouldn't have been reading, and it was no problem at all staying awake. But all of a sudden you try to read your Bible at 2 o'clock in the morning and you're out like a light.
Yeah.
I think that's demonic.
Yeah.
Something wrong with that. Huh?
Right.
I mean, you can stay up and you can go out to a picture show or whatever you do around here, and you can stay up all night watching a video or whatever, but without any problem at all. But when it comes to coming to the house of God and hearing the word of God, hey, what's going on here? It's getting kind of long here.
Yeah.
Amen.
Hello.
Amen.
Some of you people should have been saying some more amens all the way back there during the first part of this week, because now you got me all stirred up.
Praise the Lord.
Huh? I told you I'm not going to let you out of here. I'm going to shoot everything I got. This is the last hurrah. I'm dropping the atom bomb. Here it comes. Huh? I'm going to use every piece. And when I get done, I'm going to gum you to death. See? You're not getting out of here early. I'm going to give it all. I might not see you for a long time. So you're going to get everything.
Amen.
As you start shouting amen and hallelujah, I think you might be revived, and then we'll cut her down. There is an escape hatch. Might cry out for mercy or something like that. I'll give you mercy. Do you understand what I'm saying? Do you understand what the Bible's saying here? He said, don't be weary in well-doing. And notice what he says. For in due season we shall reap if we faint not. I told you that story about my son Jason. He finished the race. And because he went that extra lap and went around another time, I'm sure he was embarrassed. I know I was embarrassed. I'm sure it was hard for him. I'm sure he's just a little bit weary, but he fainted not.
Amen.
He went that extra mile and he got the crown. You want the crown? He said, don't faint.
Amen.
He said, don't faint. I know you get tired and I know you got to get your second wind sometimes. And I know it can be wearisome. But he said, don't be weary. You know why we get weary sometimes? Because we think it's not worth it. We somehow forget about there's a crown at the end of this race. We somehow forget there's a reward at the... Isn't that what he said there to Asa? He's going to be rewarded?
Amen.
Somehow we forget about the reward and we just kind of listen to all the rumors of the world and we kind of look at all the waves coming at us and we forget about Jesus standing out there in the water. Huh? And so we start sinking and we want to give up. And so the apostle says, don't do that.
Amen.
He says, you shall reap. Now we preach this a lot of times against sin, saying you're going to reap if you sow sin. Well, that's true. That's true. But it's also here telling you, if you sow in the Spirit, you're going to reap in the Spirit also.
Amen.
Hey, this is a promise verse.
Amen.
This is a promise verse that can give us some revival. Hey, sometimes it's too cold over there in Poland. I don't want to be preaching anymore. But then I get to remembering that God promised the reward.
Amen.
And it's not so cold anymore. And the wind don't seem to be biting me as hard as it was biting me. Huh? Yeah. God promised if we sowed the Spirit, we'd reap. Don't you want to reap?
Amen.
Huh? You don't always have to reap bad things. I mean, you can reap good things if you sow good things. And so he says, be not deceived. You can sow to the Spirit and shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. You can do that. Look over in Psalm 126. Look at Psalm 126. Down about verse 3. The Lord had done great things for us. Isn't that true?
Amen.
Now that's a word of hallelujah to praise the Lord. You might even want to stand up and put your hands in the air and say, amen!
Amen! Praise the Lord!
You cucumbers, you better get on your feet and put your hands in the air and say, amen!
Amen!
Praise the Lord!
He's done some great things for us.
Amen.
Whereof we are glad. Turn again our captivity, O Lord, as the streams in the south. They that sow in tears shall, this is a promise, shall reap in joy.
Amen.
He that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing. Bring his shears with him. I've been over there, Joy and I have been over there sowing for 3.5 years. We haven't seen much fruit, but that promise is still there.
Right.
That promise is still in the book and God doesn't lie. And he said, be not deceived, God is not mocked. Whatsoever man soweth, that shall also reap. And so we keep sowing. We keep sowing. Why do we do that? Because God promised.
Amen.
Yeah, but you haven't seen the fruit yet. Yeah, that's all right, but I'm going to sow. It's not harvest time yet. I'm going to sow. Some of you done the same thing, haven't you? You've been sowing a long time and you haven't seen the fruit yet. And the devil come up and say, it ain't worth it, ain't worth it, ain't worth it. Give it up, give it up, give it up. Huh? God said, ye shall reap. Ye shall reap. That's a promise verse. Look at Hebrews in chapter 12. Aren't you glad you brought your Bible?
Amen.
You'd look kind of funny trying to find Hebrews chapter 12 in a hymn book. Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 2. He said, be not weary, for we shall reap. Now notice, looking on to Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. That's Jesus.
Amen.
You don't think Jesus was just a little bit weary when he went down that road to Calvary? Do you don't know that there were some temptations going in his mind? Don't you know the devil was whispering in his ear? Don't you know the world was crying out, come down off that cross! Come down off that cross! Give it up! Give it up! And don't you know he had power to do just that?
Amen.
Some of you ain't got no power. We don't have any power. But he had the power. That was a great temptation. But he endured. He endured. Then verse 3, for consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. You ever want to give up? You ever want to give up? I know some of you pious rascals, you think, oh, I never want to give up. I always want to serve God. You ever want to give up?
Yes,
I've wanted to give up a few times. Get out there and preach your heart out and nobody cares. Nobody seems to listen. Come back to your home church and you preach your heart out and can't hardly get an amen out of them. You say, man, what in the world? Huh?
Amen.
Say, what am I doing here?
Amen.
You ever want to give up? Yeah, I've been there before. Then I just think about Jesus. That'll change some things.
Yeah.
And you know, we ought to be considering Jesus.
Amen.
We ought to be thinking about him.
Amen.
Big old sweat drops of blood coming off his head. I'm sure he wanted to give up, but he endured.
Amen.
Huh? He said, I'm sure he thought, man, what's the use? I can get out of this. I have a right. Didn't he have the right? I don't have to go through this. I don't deserve this. Isn't that true? Hey, I'm the king. I can do what I want. I'm the son of God. I don't have to go through this. But you know what? He endured.
Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord.
Thank you.
Huh? Some of you are talking about we ought to be more loving. Hey, we're talking about love right now.
Yeah, you're right. Amen.
Now we're talking about real charity. We're talking about loving God. And we're talking about remembering that great love that Jesus had. He did all that for us, you know. He didn't have to do that. He took that spit. You like to be spit on? He endured the shame. Huh? Are you with me?
Amen.
That's our Savior. He didn't have to go through that. He didn't have to let them soldiers put them nails in his hand. He didn't have to do that. He didn't have to let them put that crown on his head and beat him on the head with a rod or a reed. He didn't have to let them smack him across the face and blindfold him and make fun of him. He didn't have to put up with that. He could have wiped them all out. He could have, and he would have been right doing it. But he endured. You ever want to give up? You ever get tired? He said you ought to consider him. Lest you be wearied and faint in your minds. I know this old body, sometimes just don't want to crank. Huh? but don't faint in your mind. Did you catch that? Psalm chapter 27. I'm not saying these things to condemn you. I'm saying these things to encourage you. Look down at about 27. Psalm 27 about verse 12. Deliver me not over unto the will of mine enemies, for false witnesses are risen up against me, and such as breathe out cruelty. Notice what he said. I had fainted unless I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord.
Amen.
Don't we have a saying over here in America, good things come to them, those that wait? Sometimes we just hold on that extra minute, or that extra day, or that extra week, or that extra month, the blessings come. Sometimes God just wants to see if you're going to go the extra lap. Sometimes God is trying your faith to purify so they might reward you. Am I right on that?
Amen.
And some of you give up when you was that close to getting the crown. I've been married to that beautiful woman right there, that redheaded woman, for 20 years. Huh? Now, I'm going to have to tell you frankly, there are some times I thought about giving up. She's a beautiful woman, but being honest with her, sometimes I thought, I think I might just surrender. Huh? You pious rascals, you have too. Huh? I want to see them hands. How many people are married here tonight? I want to see, you have to, every one of you. Huh? You thought about it yourself.
Amen.
Haven't you?
Amen.
Huh?
Yes.
Don't lie. Don't, you're not supposed to lie.
Amen.
Huh? But we hung on.
Amen.
And then it got sweet. Huh? You hang on, and then it gets sweet.
Amen.
When you're mixing up that cake and you just got chocolate in there, that chocolate can be sour sometimes if you don't get sugar in it. Isn't that right? Sometimes that marriage just got to be mixed up a little bit. Huh? Some of you bailed out one day too soon, and now you're miserable. And we're happy because we hung on. Huh? I had fainted unless I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord. I believe, brethren. I really do. I believe God's going to bless.
Amen.
And you know what I'm doing all the time? I'm just trying to get myself under God's sprinkler system in heaven where the blessings are.
Amen.
And I know that's where the light is. And I'm trying to walk in the light. Wherever the light of God's righteousness is and God's word is and truth is, that's where I'm trying to walk all the time. And if I get off the trail a little bit, I confess my sins, I humble myself, and I change directions and I return unto the Lord.
Amen.
Huh? Because you walk that straight path, you mark it down, the showers of blessing are going to come. And so I keep on going. And the Apostle Paul said, be not... Look, go back in Hebrews in chapter 6. We've been in Hebrews a few times this week. You ought to know where it's at. Hebrews in chapter 6, verse 10. For God is not unrighteous to forget your work and labor of love, which ye have showed toward His name, and that ye have ministered to the saints and do minister. Did you get that? God, you know, some of you, you're wanting to give up on God because you think He forgot about you, don't you? You got some problems and distresses coming in your life. You think, well, God just forgot all about me. I mean, He's blessing them other brothers, and He's blessing that other church, and God somehow forgot about us. Isn't that what you think? Be honest. God somehow forgot. Well, the Bible said He didn't forget. And I'm going to speak for some missionaries here right now, because I'm a missionary myself. You've ministered on us all these years. We're so thankful. We're so thankful. And I know you think this because I thought it myself. Think, oh man, what am I giving these missionaries for? I just haven't received the blessing I thought I was going to get. Man, I give and I give, and where's the blessings? I just think God forgot about me giving down here. Hadn't you thought that? Don't you lie now. Hadn't you thought that? Well, He hadn't forgot. We haven't forgot either. And I know some of these missionaries, and I know they pray for all them people that give to them. They get up in the morning and they say, God, bless those that are given to us. God, multiply their seed sown. And let me just say, for all the missionaries, a big thank you.
Amen.
Thank you, thank you, thank you. God is not unrighteous to forget your work and labor of love. Now, let me tell you something. You can get discouraged thinking that God forgets. And some of you men, you ought to remember that sometimes your wife thinks that away. I mean, they've been working. They try to clean the house. They have the house clean for you. They cook supper for you. They clean your dirty socks. They wash out the rings around the bathtub for you. They scrub around the house. They do things for you. They comb the hair. And they, you know what I'm talking about, that little thing over there in the marriage bed. They do them kinds of things for you. And they do all that for you. And sometimes you just forget about it. And they think that you forgot about them. That's why you ought to remember your wives.
Amen.
You ought to tell them every once in a while, hey, I love you. You know, women like to hear that. They're strange birds. They like to hear, I love you. Right, women, you better say some amens here. I'm trying to help you out here. Right? Don't you get a little bit discouraged when you think the old man forgot about you? I know what you say about your husband. Huh? And some of you men, big old strapping boys. I mean, you can press 400 pounds just warming up. I mean, you're just a big strapping boy. Huh? You're a man's man. I mean, you can take them all on. Then you get sick. Help me, Hilton. What do you got? You got a sniffle. You got a little sniffle. Oh, I'm dying over here, honey. I'm dying. Help me, help me. Isn't that amazing? I mean, the man, I'm talking about the man, he gets a little sniffle. He got to call the boss. Oh, boss, I can't come to work. I'm dying over here. And then when that woman gets sick, woman, what are you doing in that bed? Just a sniffle. Get out of that bed. Make some breakfast. Huh?
That's true.
I think I'm stepping on some toes now. Huh? That's why I got that ticket for early in the morning. I'm flying out of here. You get a little bit discouraged if you think your mate forgot about you. Huh? Are you with me?
Amen.
Thank you, Dara. Glad you were. God is not unrighteous. In other words, it's unrighteous for you to forget your wife. Did you catch that? I want to say that again. It's unrighteous for you to forget your wife. Some of you got problems in your marriage because you forgot to do something. I mean, you got time to go golfing and bowling and whatever it is you do, and you don't have time for your wife? God is not unrighteous to forget your work and labor. Did you notice what kind of words he used here? Work and labor of love. It's a work of love and labor of love. It's a work to love some people. Some of you need to look at yourselves in the mirror and see what kind of work it is for us to love you. I mean, it's the kind of, sometimes it's easy to love the lovely, but some of you, I mean, you're cucumbers. You ever try to love a cucumber? It's a work. It's a labor. That's what God said it was. You think it was gravy train? It's a work and labor of love. And he said, I haven't forgotten. I haven't forgotten. I seen you down there, because that's what it says. He saw. He didn't see just the wickedness. He saw also the righteousness.
Amen.
He saw your work and labor of love, and he hasn't forgotten about it.
Amen.
He's got it all written down, and you're going to reap. That's what he said. You shall reap. Look over there in 1 Corinthians in chapter 15. Now some of you, the good master came out and saw you idle in the street and said, come work, and you've been working since early in the morning. And you think payday is never going to come. Isn't that what you think? I mean, you've been working around here for a long time. Some of you have been working around here for over 20 years. And you still have empty chairs. Right? I know. I've been here. You understand? You've been working for a long time. And sometimes you think, well, maybe payday is not going to come. And somehow that promise there seems far off. And sometimes it just doesn't seem like it's really real. And sometimes you just think, well, you know, maybe my labor is just in vain. I know some people who worked a job, worked all week long, and never got paid. God's not that away. God's not that away. Did you hear what I said? God's not that away.
Amen.
You work for the Lord, he's going to pay you. And he's going to pay that which is right.
Amen.
Did you hear what I said? He's going to pay that which is right. And you mark it down, you're going to be blessed if you serve the Lord.
Amen.
1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 58. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. For as much as ye know, do you know this? That your labor is not in vain in the Lord.
Amen.
Thank God for that.
Amen.
Some of you are working some vain jobs. Did you catch that? Some of you are working some vain jobs. You got the wrong employer. You're working for the wrong person. You ought to start working for the King of Kings.
Amen.
You ought to start working for the Lord of Lords. I mean, he pays a good wage. Huh? He's a good master. He said, your labor is not in vain.
Did you catch that? Your labor is not in vain. Some of you need to put that on your doors as you're walking out to the day. Yeah, they're big old letters. My labor is not in vain. Notice what it says, in the Lord. If you labor in the flesh, it's all vanity. If you labor just for this world, it's all vanity. If you work for the devil, it's vanity. But bless God, if you work for God, it's not in vain. I mean, some of you would put in overtime for a scoundrel of a boss, but you wouldn't put overtime in for God. What? Come to revival meeting all week long? I got to put in overtime for church and for God? He said, your labor is not in vain. Look at Isaiah in chapter 40. Verse 28. Hast thou not known? Hast thou not heard that the everlasting God, the Lord and creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not? Amen. Neither is weary. There is no searching of his understanding. He giveth power to the faint. Did you hear that? He giveth power to the faint. And to them that have no might, he increases strength. Even the youth shall faint and be weary. Even the young man. Some of you old times run around here and say, it's kind of hard. I'm getting kind of old. It's kind of, I get weary. Even the youth shall faint and be weary. And the young man shall utterly fall. But mark it down. Here's the promise of God. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint.
Amen.
That's what it says. That's what it says. God's not a liar.
Amen.
This revival meeting is about coming back and trusting God. This revival meeting is coming back and seeking the Lord and remembering the promise of God and trusting Him. Can you trust Him?
Amen.
Now I'm going to tell you a story. The Bible calls it a parable. It's a lesson. And I want you to get it. There's a man. He was a rich man. He was a godly man. In fact, he's a Christian. And he had a boy. His only boy. I mean, this guy was probably had more money than Red McCombs. I mean, he's rich. He's got a lot of money. He's got a big house. He's got fine cars, fine clothes, fine everything. He eats good. He has praises and cream in the refrigerator all the time. I mean, he's a rich man. He's got a lot of things. But he was a Christian. And so he didn't spoil his only child. He taught him the responsibility of working. He taught him to work for an honest wage. He taught him that he ought to go out and go to school and learn so he can get a better job. He taught him responsibility. All through his life. And this was a good boy. He was a good kid. He was honest. He was upright. He was forthright. This boy worked and labored and worked and labored and worked and labored. Put himself through college. Got all the way through college. And graduated. Coming down to graduation and getting that ready for the graduation ceremony and whatnot. They have a little party after the graduation ceremony at the dad's house. Invited some friends over. And they were thinking about that, planning for it because it's going to be in a week. And he's driving a car with his son. Nice, beautiful car. Probably Cadillac with leather seats in it. Driving his nice air-conditioned car, driving along. He said, son, you really worked hard. I'm really proud of you. He said, what would you like for graduation? And he drove by the auto shop. He said, oh, man, you see that sports car there, Dad? He said, well, I'd kind of like to have that sports car. I mean, that'd be really nice. I'd really like that. Now, see, his dad's real rich, and so that's nothing for him to buy. Catch it? It's nothing for him to buy. I mean, he's got a lot of money. It would be no problem at all for him to go down there and pay cash for that car, $120,000 car. He said, I'd kind of like to have that. And his dad said, well, I'll think about it. And so the week goes by, and so the son's all excited, you know, he's thinking about getting this new car and whatnot, and all the people come over, and all, you know, they had the party and had the ice cream, whatever, and they had a good time, and he actually got some gifts from some other people and whatnot, and he's having a good time, but he still hadn't seen that car. He thought his dad is going to give him a good car. Give him a present. I mean, work real hard. And so the dad says, son, come here. Got something to give you. And so the boys are getting all excited. I mean, he'd work real hard, you know. He'd try to do everything his daddy said. And he worked real hard and he did everything. And so his dad said, come into my study here. Dad went over and sat down in his big old leather chair, pushed a button on his desk and the drawer opened, pulled out this package, just a little bit bigger than this. It was all wrapped up. He handed the boy. And he said, well, Daddy, what's this? He said, that's a present from you, your mom and me, for you. You worked real hard. We just want to give you this present. The boy's heart sank a little bit. He opened up the package. It was a brand new Bible. Was a brand new King James Bible. I mean, it was a nice Bible. It had imported leather on it, probably cost him $250. I mean, it was nice. It had his name on it in gold letters. And that boy's heart just sank. He dropped that Bible on the table and he ran out the door. Bitterly disappointed. And his mother chased after him. Come back, son. Come back, son. I don't want. I'm not going to come back. He never did come back. Never did call his dad anymore. You know, the mom on the side, she'd try to call him and said, why don't you come back, Dad? Why don't you come back? No, I worked hard and all I got was a Bible.
Man, he's got all that money. He wouldn't even buy me a car. I mean, I've done everything he said. I've worked for him, and I tried to do everything Daddy said. And you know, I did love him, but you know, I didn't get the car I wanted. This went on for years. Over the years, the mother tried to call him up and said, why don't you come back with that? Why don't you reconcile? Got married and had kids. Wouldn't even bring the grandkids over. He was still bitter. Well, dear old dad died. Mother called him up and said, son, your dad died. Think you ought to come to the funeral. So the boy said, all right, I'll come to the funeral. So he came to the funeral, put things in order, happened to go into the house, into that study. And there on that desk where he left it 30 years ago was that Bible. And he got to remember way back that 30 years ago. Remember that graduation day? He worked so hard. And he thought for sure his daddy was going to get him a car. And all he got was a Bible. He went over that box and opened up that Bible. In the middle of the Bible were keys to a brand new car. Had the sales receipt paid in full. Do you get the picture? He didn't think he was going to reap. He didn't think he was going to get reward. He thought his daddy forgot about him. But my Bible says, they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles, and they shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. God has not forgotten your work and labor of love. And He is going to reward you. Maybe it's already planned. He's got it for you. He's just waiting for you to come get it. Maybe it's in your hand. You just didn't recognize it. Brothers and sisters, I want to tell you tonight that your labor in the Lord Jesus is not in vain. God has a reward for you. Now, that's the end of this revival meeting. God spoke in your heart. God dealt with you. Maybe you've become bitter with the Lord. You just think He didn't do you right. I don't know. Maybe you think, well, you know, you're serving God more than anybody else. Maybe that's not too wise of you. But that's what you think. And you think that God hadn't rewarded you. You got a bitter spirit. Things just didn't go your way. I mean, you thought the Lord said we ought to chop off the guy's ear. And you pulled out your sword and you chopped off your ear. And God said, put up the sword. You misunderstood God. You presumed on God. And you got a little bit bitter. I don't know where you're at. But I want you to know God is not unrighteous to forget your labor and love. He's going to reward you. He's going to reward you. Are you ready to renew yourself? Are you ready to renew yourself? I want to stand and sing that song. Don't we see this song? Don't we have this song? You know how somebody with a guitar know how to play this song? They that wait upon the Lord. Do we know this song? We know this song. Let's stand and sing it. God spoke to you tonight. I want you to come down here and get yourself right with God. Make it a covenant with the Lord to renew yourself. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew the strength. Some have already come, and thank God for that. I love honest people. I like people that are willing to humble themselves. That's the kind of crowd I want to run with. Huh? I want to run with some people that want to run with the Lord. I want to run with some people that are willing to wait on the Lord. I want to run with some people that are willing to serve the Lord. I want to run with some people that love God. Maybe they're not the most perfect people in the world. Maybe they fall into some sin. But I want to run with some people that can get up and go on again and can renew themselves. That's what this revival is all about. Let's sing it out. Somebody knows how to sing. Start it off. They that wait upon the Lord. You got the text right in front of you. They that wait upon the Lord. The Lord renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. They that mourn, teach me, Lord, to wait. Sing it again. God spoke in your heart this morning, or this afternoon, this evening. This is your chance. Today's the day God spoke to you. Today's the day. Maybe you're lost. God's not with you, but you'd like Him to be with you. Come on to Him. Won't you come? This is your opportunity. Thank God for these that have come. Oh, God. God, give us revival.